All right. Well, let's go ahead and just kick things off. So, that fingered that one. So this is again, like I mentioned, or like Allison mentioned in in just some of those housekeeping announcements, we're starting to use the word last in what we are talking about. Last office hours, last cohort calls. This is not the last coaching call, though candidly, December for Limitless tends to be a little bit more festive and truly tying a bow around, no, I guess there is a pun intended in that metaphor, during the Christmas and holiday seasons there of wrapping things up. Today is going to be the beginning of the end, if you will. And what I mean by that is already starting to think through and review. Hopefully you have been already periodically throughout the year reviewing your progress, right? One of my favorite business phrases from Peter Drucker, The Efficient Executive, one of my favorite business books, is what gets measured gets managed, and what gets managed improves. As Allison was inadvertently messaging me prior to this call, because letting me know that Steph had a migraine, I again, many of you know, I don't check my inbox. I have an EA that does the inbox management, and my team meeting meets every, we have a Any Traction fans out there know the L10 meeting, the level 10 meeting. My team meets on Mondays. We do our L10 meeting Mondays from 10 to 11:30. And so we had went a little bit long today because we were beginning to start putting things on the agenda or adding to them, if you will, for our team's strategic planning meeting, which is coming up. We always block out the first week of December, which is the time when we will get together in person. That's also one of the things that we do, having a remote team to continue and build upon the culture that we have and the relationships and the friendships that we have built as a team, is doing that in person. But we also have three other quarterly meetings that we do as a firm throughout the year. We do those virtually to measure the business and see where the business is talking to us. What do we need to change in the business? Where do we need to make investments? Where do we need to make cuts? What processes and procedures do we need to change? Because, and we, as we joke today, it's like just when you think that you get comfortable, the practice throws you a little bit of a curveball. And the only thing that's constant in firm ownership, and regardless of where you're at in your journey, the only thing that seems to be constant in that is change. And so we were working on our strategic, or we're adding some things to our agenda that we're going to be going over when we all get together next month in Charleston. And I share that because that's something that we're doing in our firm. And regardless of whether you are a team of one, 10, or more than that, I think we could all agree that it's important to always be reviewing the data that your business is telling you and seeing where you need to make improvements. And our hope, my hope, and intention in today's call is that I can, if you haven't been doing that already, that's the focus and the agenda for today's call, is to start getting you in that mode of evaluating your progress, not only just within Limitless, but I dare I say, obviously, hopefully, the result that your progress in Limitless has had on your progress and journey as a firm owner. Because Limitless, right? This is not, hopefully, this is not a new slide. Hopefully you know what our curriculum here at Limitless is, and you've also likely started to see a little bit of a cadence change and a little bit of an understanding that the idea that you're going to be able to get through all nine of these success shifts, and that you would be able to successfully and, dare I say, transformationally accomplish all of these different learning paths and changes in your practice in 1 year. Like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean, that is just a, I mean, would you love to do that? Yes, but is it realistic for most of us as firm owners and the sizes of the firms that we have? Is that possible to do? No. And for two reasons, well, two immediate ones that come to mind, and probably others. Number one, there's just the law of time. I mean, there's only 168 hours in a week that we have to do to not only take care of the existing clients that we have, but then as we're going through these different learning paths and lessons, it takes time to implement that. So that's the first reason. Number two, it takes data to determine the impact of that change. We at Limitless, there's only so much that we can do, even though we try and get as tactical as possible on this is what you need to do. You need to do this. Here's some script samples. Here's some templates. Here's some worksheets. Here's some videos. Every single one of your practices is different. And so there's going to be a certain level of what I like to call ready, fire, aim, where you're doing Limitless to get ready. And then you have to execute. And then we have to review the data that we get from our firm. We have to review the numbers of the profitability of our of the revenue and profitability of our practice. We have to review the feedback that we get from clients. We have to review the feedback that we get from our team, right? Going back to what I mentioned in the very beginning of what gets measured gets managed, and what gets managed improves. And so this idea of getting through Limitless all in 1 year and accomplishing every single one of these lessons and getting them and implementing them. To be clear, we're not expecting nor asking you to do that. And to also be clear and fair, not everybody on this call might need to emphasize to improve on all of these learning paths. Some of you might be in the situation where you're just spot treating the carpet. There are just a few key pieces. There's just a few of these learning paths that if you figure out where and how to pour gasoline on that fire, boom, right now we're at that place where you have that path to 1,100 days off, or whatever your definition of a limitless practice is. Others of you that are either early on in firm ownership, or you like me coming into, if I think back to where I was in 2017, coming into Limitless in 2018, where I had a dysfunctionally functional practice, in my case, I was working on every single one of these lessons, not necessarily all at the same time, but I did need to improve every single aspect of this. And what am I now? It's now, 6 years into this process of continually iterating on it, and we're not done. So the goal for today's conversation is to measure your progress, where you've been up until this point, or what you've done up until this point. And this is what we're going to do, as Allison mentioned in the beginning. I'm going to take a sip of coffee here and take a breath, and we'll eventually punch you into breakout rooms to meet with other advisors in Limitless. And we have some questions that we want you to take into that conversation, but I really want you to start looking at your practice a bit through the rearview mirror instead of just through the windshield, and look at where you've made progress, what has gotten you excited about your progress, where you might have fallen short of what you originally wanted to do. Side note, just because you've fallen short doesn't mean that you failed. There's some lessons that can come just from the acknowledgement of falling short or not meeting what you thought were expectations. Again, we can talk a little bit about that. But again, we have some of those questions that we'll send you to breakout rooms with, because I really want to make sure that everybody here, as you think about the journey that you've had through Limitless up until this point, that you are certainly, our goal, hopefully, emphatically, is that you're getting value out of this program and out of the relationship that we have had with you. And we're also teeing you up to realize that Limitless is not a 1 year program. It's not a 2 year program. It could be maybe a 3 year program. I will emphatically argue might be a strong word. Defend. That's a better, maybe that's a semantics. That Limitless, or a like it, that coaching should be an evergreen relationship that you have. You should always be allocating dollars in your P&L, dollars in your business to your personal development budget. And Limitless can be a part of that allocation, or it can be the total part of that allocation. But my point is measuring your progress over the course of this year. And I'll encourage you. Let me fast forward. I'll encourage you to not only go back and review the program guidebook, but also go back and look at your practice assessment, right? Part of the thing that you did, part of, I think, Allison, correct me if I'm wrong in this, but like when you sign up as a first timer, or as a participant, the pre-work, if you will, before January's meeting, if you go back and look at whenever you signed up for Limitless, I believe sometime in the month of December of 2023, you got a link from Limitless that asked you to go through and take a practice assessment, because that was our first attempt at giving you some sense of a roadmap, some sense of a heat map of where you should be allocating your time, talents, and attention in your business, and giving you, number one, the areas that were going to be in red of, yep, danger, like here's an area where we really want to lean into. And at the same time, if you came out green on some of those and you had some pretty good tailwinds and momentum there, we wanted that to also be the self, or not self, but be the affirmation that you have some momentum here and to lean into that, lean into those strengths, lean into the momentum that you have in that area of a practice, and determine what if I'm do what am I doing over here that is green that I can draw from to then help maybe backfill what is red. What information, what knowledge do I have? What affirmation do I have of things that I'm doing right over here on my heat map, on my practice assessment, that tells me that I'm in the right place and I'm doing things right over here? What can I draw from how I'm showing up over here that I can then apply to certainly the areas that are red, and then yes, backfill into the areas that are yellow as well. So we really want, Allison, thank you for putting that link in the chat. I really want all of you to lean into this practice guidebook. Go ahead, click on that link if you need a, I shouldn't say a current, I don't think it's really changed, but you don't want to go searching for yours. It's right there in the chat. Go ahead and download that guidebook. And if you have easy access to that, this would be a good time between now and when we kick you off into breakout rooms to go and find your practice assessment and look at that and use that as a measurement to determine, hey, this is where I was when I first started in the program, when we first kicked off in January of 2024, or as I started in this in December of 2023. And this is where I feel like I'm at relative to where I was in January. And again, using that progress and using that measurement of data to determine this is the progress that I made up until this point. Now, what are the things that I need to be doing, focused on, and giving my attention and or dollars as I start leaning into what I'm planning for in 2025? One of the ways in which we've tried to hold you accountable, if you will, or at least give you that agency in those sandboxes, if you will, to play in, are through the different summits that we've had, which obviously are very big deals for us and where we really try and deliver a lot of value in a condensed period of time with the focus on a couple of themes, right? We had the performance summit, and you can see all the lessons there, the value summit, the productivity, and the growth summit. Right, bringing back my own story and my, or I shouldn't say my own story, but if for no other reason that my journey can be somewhat of a framework and guardrails for how you think about this, this journey in Limitless, as you can see on the path on the screen here, it's anything but linear, right? When we think of climbing a mountain, there are some times when we're always going up. There are some times where we have to sidestep. There are some situations right here where we'd have to downclimb, and you have to go down before you can go back up. Every single one of these lessons is going to be applicable in a different way to each of you, but they all complement each other. And this is where, again, our goal at Limitless has always wanted to be able to give you the resources that you need when you need them. Yes, we have this path, and I do believe, let me go back a couple of slides. I do believe, and this is where, again, this is like the order of these shifts is not randomized. I do believe that these complement each other and build on each other one after the other. With that being said, I do also think that each one of you as a practice owner, each one of these might have a different level of emphasis and a different level of, for lack of a better word, pain in your life right now that you need to harness better. And because, so I guess my point with this is, if you use these success shifts as kind of the chronological guide as to what needs to happen in an ideal practice to become successful, whatever that definition of success in your mind is, reconcile that journey with these different lessons and lean into them, because that consistency will compound on your journey. And I'm sure there are those of you on the call here that can attest that you got a lot more value out of the value summit than you did out of the productivity summit. Others of you on the call might have got a lot more value out of the productivity summit than you did out of the value summit. You can kind of see where I'm going with this. The other point that I would make is I have talked to a couple, there's actually been a number of you, and it happens more in person. Side note, if you're signing up for next year, please, I would really emphasize and do everything that you can to be in person with everybody that's going to be involved in Limitless next year, with the advisor coaches, faculty, staff, other advisors in Limitless, there is no substitute, in my humble opinion, for being in person. So, slight digression there. But my point is, the conversations that I had in person with people that were at our retreats is that they took a great sense of pride. Like, pride is maybe there's another word that I'm trying to think of. Peace of mind, calmness, like affirmation that, you know what I realized today, Adam? I don't need to do that. Okay, tell me more. Yeah, I started realizing that I've got all these things going right here. And what you're talking about up there, that's really valuable. And I can see how that would be valuable for another advisor. But I just started thinking, like, I don't see how that fits in my practice. Great. Good job. Good for you. You listened to your business. You observed what's in front of you right now, identified the areas in your business that can really that really do need your attention. And equally, if not more importantly, said, you know what? That might be valuable for somebody, but it's not valuable for me. Cultivating COIs, not valuable to me. It's not, I'm just using an example, right? Maybe it's hugely valuable to you. There was one advisor where, ironically enough, as I was talking with him, he's like, you know what? I don't really want to do the whole SEO thing and building a huge website that works because I'm getting phenomenal referrals on the estate planning side of things with a couple of these with a couple of these COIs. I just really realized today that the clarity that I have is I quote unquote just need to lean into that. Awesome. That's great. The goal with us is to provide as much value as we can and cast, dare I say, as wide of a net as possible, yet still keep it tactical for all of you so that you do have the resources and the templates, right? I think of the way I think of Limitless, if like we all know the, or I shouldn't say we all, but many of us might know the company or the program out there called Strategic Coach. Yes, Limitless is part strategic, but it's also very tactical. Our goal has been to give you the templates and the resources and the guides, the spreadsheets, et cetera, to help you take action on this. So know that this is going to be, again, if you haven't gotten it by now, let me reaffirm that this is a bit of a meandering process. And the important thing is, again, that you're listening to your business, that you're measuring it. And that's what I want to basically turn it over to you here from this point forward. So what we want to do is have all of you start coaching and teaching each other in this conversation and use the ability to move into breakouts, to have some dialogue with each other, analyze where you've been. Allison, if you can cut and paste from the notes in the deck into chat, what could, thank you so much, dear.
Welcome.
You'll see in chat, these are the questions for breakouts that we really want you to ask to each other. We're going to give you 3 minutes in breakout. So roughly, we're going to do groups of three. I don't know, Allison, how many do we have? Is that breakout going to work?
Yeah, I think there I'll err on
Three
the
to
side
four.
of maybe being a few in a group of four. Yeah.
Yeah. So between groups of three or four, you have the questions in your chat. So please copy and paste those so that you have everybody in chat. Please copy those so that when you get to the breakout room, you're like, wait, what were we supposed to be talking about? Somebody copy those and then paste those. Can you chat? Can you paste in your own chat or in your own breakout room? I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. You're all reasonably smart individuals, so I'm sure you'll figure it out. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So groups of three or four, allocate again. If you have three people, 10 minutes. If you have four people, roughly that 8 to 9, 8 minute-ish per person. Go through these questions, share with your group. We're going to come back. I'll ask for some people to share. If nobody wants to share, I will call on you, and then we will turn this into somewhat of a quasi office hour feedback group for everybody, just again, hopefully get some clarity and get some momentum and progress as we lean into the rest of 2024, gearing up for 2025. So we didn't miss too much.
I should have reminded you, sorry.
I like the ownership. I appreciate the ownership. That was on me because I was the one that stopped the recording to give our editors a little bit of a break. But anyway, one thing that I think a lot of us can attest to in the benefit, one of the benefits that a lot of us can attest to of group coaching like this is the ability to develop relationships with one, two, three, handful of members in Limitless. And one benefit of doing that is to really lean on each other for some accountability to actually execute on this. I mean, there's been a lot of behavioral research in psychology. There's even a book on it by Baumeister. I can't remember. Bill? Greg? I don't know. Baumeister. And then it's got a co-author that says, I think it's just called Willpower. It's either willpower or willpower isn't enough. I think it's willpower isn't enough, which just goes to show all of the data and all of the research that's done out there that says we need structure in our life to help us get to the finish line, that willpower, as the book suggests, is not enough. So as you're thinking about some of these big rocks that you need to move forward in your life that you know are going to have a sizable impact, Eric, if getting email, like if you started seeing yourself retract back into those old habits and you've seen that, the next step is how do I prevent myself from falling back again, and how do I make continuous progress on that? That's why I kind of passively aggressively, if you will, joke that all right, next step is getting it to an EA to completely get rid of email off of your computer, or at least do it so that you only have to look at one folder and not get distracted by that. If that's a goal that you want to have, find another advisor in Limitless that you can say, I will prove and I will have done by this date a clear set of expectations of what this means, of what success looks like. I will have an EA being in my inbox, managing my inbox at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. I will have a next actions folder. Things will be blocked on the calendar. And if I don't have that in place by blank, pick a reasonably a realistic but yet somewhat painful timeline. And if you don't consent or agree, each of you, as to what that penalty will be and make it hurt. Yeah, willpower doesn't work, Benjamin Hardy. And then, yeah, Roy, that's it, Roy Baumeister. Every time I say Baumeister, I think of the root beer. Isn't there a Baumeister root beer that always just, anyway, as a kid, I drank that stuff. So I have enough ADD for a room full of kindergartners this morning. I apologize. But anyway, appreciate you
Adam,
sharing, Eric.
can I say something that is kind of along the lines of what you're touching
Yeah.
on?
Yeah. What's
So
up?
for me, and I don't mean to derail, but for me, I'm that person you were talking about, Adam, who gave himself permission to say a lot of what Limitless gives as guides for marketing, et cetera, aren't what I want to do, and I don't need to do. It's okay, and it's okay for me to ignore a lot of that.
Yeah, we talked about that in Denver.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's Gary Vaynerchuk is how you say his name, Gary V. He said he has a phrase that 100% of your success in life is based on your ability to keep a promise to yourself. And I think that's a great ideal. And I think I was idealizing how I needed to do things within Limitless. And it's okay again to step back and say, hey, I'm not going to be 100% perfect, right? Progress, like Eric said, progress over perfection. So that's my long-winded way of saying I've noticed I can put things on my calendar, but there's no stick. So I don't keep the promise to myself, which is not good and it hurts my confidence, et cetera. But having an extreme accountability partner can make a major difference. I had one years ago where I had to write a $20,000 check to a candidate I did not support. And you can be sure I got done what I said I was going to get done.
We have our mastermind is meeting next week. So it's like Christmas in November for a lot of us because we don't see like we'll see each other periodically throughout the year. One or two of us might get together and find our way at each other's or in each other's cities. But once per year we get together, the usually the first week of November. Anyway, two of our guys in the group have some extreme accountability, but it's not business related. They have a weight goal. They've been on personal fitness intentions and are wanting to hit a certain BMI for that time period, and there's some extreme accountability that's attached to that. Last year, the issue was if we didn't have there were a couple of us that had manuscripts that we were writing for books, and if the whoever didn't bring the manuscript to the event had to split the cost of the house. Needless to say, when the house is 22 grand, everybody brought their manuscripts. So that's the benefit, whether it's a formal mastermind that you have, or even if it's with one or two advisors in Limitless, reach out to that person, get some of that accountability. The other thing that I noticed about myself, Sam, to your exact point of things that got on the calendar that I didn't follow through, What I realized about those is those tended to be below the line activities, so it was procrastination. And the lesson is that the lesson in that, I'm not the best person to be doing this. It needs to get done. It was just a lesson that I'm not the best person that should be doing this. So rather than, oh, let me get some accountability so that I can do it, it was, all right, I'm clearly not doing this. I've determined that it's valuable. It's tied to this bigger goal, this bigger mission. I don't want to do it. And I can do other things that I enjoy doing that are more advantageous. So it's not that, all right, I force my way to do this. I first, now, sometimes, yeah, we still need to do that. But what I would encourage everybody to do if you find yourself with things like that on the calendar is to, rather than just jump straight to the accountability, ask yourself that critical question of, am I the best person that should be doing this right now, or should I be punting this to somebody else's task list?
And Adam, to that point, I didn't get a chance to share what my big aha was this year, but that you actually just nailed it.
Oh,
One of the things
sweet.
I just some stuff to jump on the tail of that. There's so much that we learned in the list. This is my third year, so we've done the marketing, we've done the technology, we've done a lot of the things. But what I found is there were certain things that I wasn't making progress on, and what I couldn't, and I was getting frustrated. The things like the process. Right, getting really nailing down the onboarding process, et cetera. Because there were so many things I kept telling myself had to be done first. Like in my mind, I had this conceptualized order, whether it was limitless or the design process. What I actually had to do, and it was in kind of accountability with somebody else, is that I had to sit down and say, okay, why am I not doing these things? What is the problem? And I really went through and made a list step by step of our process. And figure out, and then what I did is send it a little list. I work with a coach as well. And so what we did is we went through and said, what is my block? And just went through and said, why am I doing this? Getting finally integrated with Wealthbox, whatever simple thing it was, there was something like, what's the story that I'm telling myself? Why am I not doing this? And it was interesting when I did that and broke it down to that simple, to every single line item, I started to see a consistent story. That I was telling myself why I couldn't do these things, and it all wrapped up into holding on to my legacy clients, why I was trying to pursue my niche. Because this whole new process has to do with the new niche clients. Well, the story I'm telling myself, if I'm too busy dealing with my legacy clients, I just have room in my practice and my time and my schedule. I can't possibly balance the legacy and the niche clients, which is where I really want to spend my time. I'm telling myself like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I still identified that I couldn't work on it. I had no idea that I was doing that. Like, I thought I was just procrastinating or had other things that I had to do in my process. And so having both the sales process that Limitless helped me define, getting the niche in place and then seeing where those two things were conflicting, kind of forced me down that process of identifying where the sticking points were. So now I can get rid of them and move them out of the way. And now we're making progress, whether it's giving them to somebody else in the practice to do, because it's just not something I have to do, which is the other reason I might be procrastinating. But also, if it's just something that I'm telling myself I'm not going to like the outcome or whatever, therefore I'm just not going to do it. It's just so much easier to actually blow through those types of things. So that's been a
Yeah.
huge thing in the past 5 months that we've uncovered and have made a ton of progress on that. Absolutely pivot to what we've learned from Limitless, but also having the accountability of working with other people to help, force us down that rail so you have to stick to it.
Awesome. Appreciate you sharing, Julie. Thank you. Yeah, there's only 168 hours in a week. And with every new yes that we get excited to, whether we're the ones at Limitless responsible for introducing that yes, like, oh, I got to spend time on this, or I have to do this, or I want to do this. And all of those are in alignment with what it is that you're aspiring to achieve in your practice. That requires time. And so you have to have a good inventory of what you are going to say no to in your life if you're going to be saying yes to something. And when you are in a place where the practice, where there's still a lot of, dare I say, dead time in the practice, where, as is, I think, getting to be a popular term in our profession, it's very easy to play office. But as you start finding the constraints on the time that you have, you start really feeling that pain of there's just not enough hours in the day to get things done. And you really need to take a secondary look at that inventory and realize, are these really the things that I and only I should be doing? Or should I be asking the better question of, all right, who needs to do this? Maybe not how, because we know how to do it. It's just like, forget the book, who, not how. Well, don't forget the book, but it's not like you know how to do it. This isn't a matter of figuring out how to do it. It's just who needs to do this, period, full stop. So, anybody else want to share anything else that they that was impactful for them? Or do I have to start calling on people?
I'll go, Adam.
Yeah, Devin.
One thing we talked about on ways to increase leverage is using AI and how we're trying to use it. A couple of us we started testing out Zox, and someone I think was on maybe Zephyr. I know you guys mentioned Fireflies. Zox has, I think you guys use Zox, Adam.
We do.
And so they have it where you can give the AI access to your CRM and it can prepare meeting agendas and different things for you. In addition to taking notes, preparing emails, follow-up emails, and all those types of things. I was curious to two things. One, to what extent are you guys using it? And has anyone given the AI access to your CRM system and are comfortable having with it having that much access?
So I'll share on my end, and if anybody else wants to pipe in and share what they're doing on their end, I'm happy to, of course, would love to have you share. We do have the integration. We are a Redtail firm, and as much of a fanboy as I have been with Redtail over the years, that fandom has been waning a little bit, candidly. That's a different discussion for a different day. Still a good CRM, but needs some improvements, if you will, on the UI and the UX side of things. And the API is slow relative to Wealthbox and certainly to Salesforce. Anyway, all that to say, the integration between Zox and Redtail is not as robust as what it is within Wealthbox. So we don't, dare I say, can't use it to pre-populate agendas, but we do have it linked with Redtail so that we can, Jeff, come to the dark side. Well, the dark side would me to be would be to spend the money for a custom Salesforce build out or to use something with Accelerate, but maybe you and I can touch base one on one. I made Kathy's ears bleed today when I suggested that we should just switch CRMs and all of this. And but we got it. We have enough irons in the fire right now. So we do give Redtail access to Zox, and our standard operating procedure after a client appointment is the advisor goes into Zox. Goes into the summary. We've got our templates built in there already, which mimic the templates that we used when we were using Mobile Assistant for dictation. The advisor goes into that, cleans up the note, adds maybe any clarifying pieces of details. We've also really made it an emphasis for our advisors when they're in client meetings to use the trigger words that we have trained Zox to know. So, we'll follow up with our next action is as a result of this meeting, we'll get started with. Be on the lookout for an application from like all of these trigger words so that Zox knows to grab that and put that in the respective action items within Zox. That way, when we go in and clean up the note, it's a smaller lift of anything that we need to customize. We will then export that note from Zox into Redtail attached to the client as an activity. We then, again, this is the manual part, but we then have to go into Redtail, into that client's record, go into the activity that was just created through that integration. We add Kathy to it, we remove ourselves, and we adjust the activity due date so that Kathy has it either, if it's early in the morning, it's on today. Like I'm not going to attach an activity to her on today's date if it's 4:30 in the afternoon. Like just kind of use your judgment as to when she needs to see that activity. So we add her to the activity, we take the advisor off, we adjust the due date, and that is the advisor's way of saying, I'm no longer done with, or I'm no longer dealing with this anymore. It's all on Kathy. And then Kathy will take that note, process it, attach the workflows, update e-money tasks for clients, et cetera. I'm curious if anybody has experimented, Jeff, since you, so lovingly volunteered and asked me to come over to the dark side. Are you using Zox in the prep side of things or anything on the AI with what with WealthBox?
So I was looking at, I looked at Zox a little bit. I was looking at Fathom because Steph likes it, and we were trying to see like what we would need to build to try to have the same compatibility. But I spent a bunch of time at Edge West with the guys from GReminders, and that's something that they're including in their platform is the AI follow-up. So I have a, I sent them a lot of technical questions that I don't think they were used to. And so we are looking at dropping a few pieces of tech. Like we're required to use OneSub, but I'm leaving LPL, so that opens up, and then
Okay,
a few other things. So I'm gonna actually, I have their super nerd on Friday for at least an hour, and we're gonna go through all of that. So hopefully I'll be able to write back that their incorporated AI has pretty much all the same functionality. It looks like it does for the most part. But I want them to actually walk through it and show me where it connects and what we need to do manually to get stuff done and where that is. So we'll see. But they also seem pretty
Okay.
receptive to having advisors that are kind of tech savvy, like send them things that they would like added and then quickly adding them. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. Anybody else
And
that's using Zox or another out-of-the-box solution, so to speak, in relate in conjunction with their CRM?
pipe in
Bueller.
on that real quick, just because I am using GReminders and I just started experimenting with their AI note taker. So I don't have a lot to compare to because I was just using Fathom and not really that much. But so far it seems pretty nice. Once it's done doing the summary, you click on a link to review it, and then you can edit the notes if you need to, and then you just click a button and it syncs it into the CRM. So far so good. And I switched from OneSub as well.
nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Eric. I started experimenting with Otter AI for note taking because it can Zoom and in-person meetings. And a lot of our clients still like in-person meetings. So for me, Fathom wasn't enough. So far, it's pretty good. So, we're basically just experimenting. How do we add this into a workflow? How do we edit it? But the details that it captures are very accurate.
If you liked Otter, Eric, both from a compliance standpoint as well as a smarter aspect of it, Zox does have an in-person meeting as well. So, I can't speak to the specifics of it, but I think Tiffany, when they were looking at Otter, they asked for some of the compliance and data retention policies, and they were, how shall we say, less than forthright in providing what they actually keep versus what they don't keep. I might be mistaking or misspeaking on that, so don't take that to the bank. But I just know that Tiffany, and I think there might have been another firm here that were less than comfortable, if you will, with Otter's privacy policy and data retention policies and things like that. Again, I don't know the details on it, but I do know that was a concern. So all that to say, if that's what you're solving for in person, even if Otter was, or even if Otter didn't have that, dare I say, concern at that time, and it might have changed because that was a while ago, Zox is built for advisors, and the email that it drafts is pretty legit, and it's a nice way that we send a cursory follow or a follow up to the client right after the appointment, letting them know here's what everybody's responsible for doing. Look for the timelines. If it's client related, look for the timelines in e-money. We call it wealth plan. And then on the advisor side, we pump everything into workflows, into Red Tail. But yeah, that auto-generated email is really nice in Zox as well. And you can do it in person.
That's great. Thank you.
Adam, is Zox an improvement over what you had before? I know you had some speed issues and time delays on that one.
Yep, that's gotten better. It's gotten better. And we were experimenting, we were using Fireflies before that as well, but similar to Otter, it wasn't picking up the advisor specific lingo. It wasn't doing it, and to be fair to those platforms, maybe we didn't know how to teach it. It is an LLM, right? A large learning or a large, whatever the hell. I know learning is one of those L's.
Language.
Language, thank you. And we were maybe, thank you, large language model. We weren't good at programming the language. So maybe we were, maybe we fell short on that. All that to say, we didn't have to do that with Zox. It was already fairly smart, and we could then teach it a little bit more specific. Like, one thing that Zox didn't do that we had to teach it for our specific environment was the business owner side of things, because Zox wasn't picking up any of the action items for our business owner and our practice owner clients. We could go into the settings and teach it what we wanted it to pick up specific to practice ownership. When you heard us say profit loss and balance sheet and statement of cash flow and gross, like we kind of gave it some of that training to pick up on those things in the note-taking smarts of the model.
Was there anything that helped you get over the privacy aspect of it?
There's SOC 2 compliant. There's SOC 2 compliance, as well as Zox does not actually retain any of the data. There's no recording that Zox does. Yeah. So they don't have any of the data. The audio file isn't anywhere. It's just the way that I understood it, and I might be wrong in this, it's kind of like eMoney. eMoney doesn't have any of the data. It just screen scrapes it. You can't do anything with the data in eMoney. It's just a screen scraping technology. The same thing that was the metaphorical understanding that I took with Zox is it doesn't actually record it. It doesn't have the audio file anywhere. It's just scraping the conversation and putting it in this structure.
Yeah.
And for our clients, it's been zero concern. I mean, they don't even ask questions about Adam's assistant or John's assistant or Kate's assistant.
And that's just because we're on it, like I'll add, like the chatbots are really similar. So like a lot of places are just now starting to let people experiment with chatbots. You can contain them to only answer questions within that website. So it's not coming up with weird, wild stuff. It's only looking at your website that the chatbot is on. Like, it seems like you contain the AI the way that you want to, right? Same with the note taker.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I've all never right, heard got... about actually giving it the specific phrases. So that's awesome, because that's how to train it, like you said. So it knows what to pull out. Because I did a call with Stephanie. Now, that was on Fathom. I was amazed when I got the follow-up from her. It was already done. It was broken out. It was very cool because it had all those specific sections. This is the follow-up. This is what we got from the calls. These are our takeaways. And I was like, this is amazing. So you do all of that via training, the AI?
Yep.
Okay, because when I used Otter, I just got a transcript and it was a disaster. It was a mess. It never got the words right. It was just, I did not say that. So I had to listen to the call every single time and go through and correct it. And it just became a massive waste of time. So I just kind of gave up.
Yep. So in, just show our environment right here. So meeting types, these type of meetings, the meeting presets. Think of the meeting presets as the widgets that you would want to be present inside of the meeting type that you have. So for us in the financial summary, this is where we went in and said business planning, right? Anything that's relevant to their business, cash flows, profit loss, balance sheet, capital needs, and any concerns. So we trained it, gave it that information to have this bullet point be the first thing that shows up under the financial discussion. Before us putting it in there, business meetings, or when we'd have meetings with our practice owners, none of that was picked up.
Got it. Okay.
And then this is, like we said, you know, keywords and phrases that will be used, you know, next steps as a follow-up, action items, we'll get started, other similar phrases. So this is that conversation, if you will, that you have with your LLM that you're essentially taking it to school. Sorry, am I sharing my screen or did I screw it up?
No, you can see it. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't see the green bar.
No, right, it's so awesome.
There we go. All right. We are right at the bottom of the hour. Allison has in chat, she put up a brief poll here. Yes, no, doesn't take a whole lot of brain power to answer that question. I'm assuming that's just because Limitless is wondering whether for 2025 we want to continue doing that.
Yes, we are pretty married to the idea of doing it for next year, but we just want to see for the following year, people really use them and like them. So it's interesting.
I was gonna say, for the 10 people that said no, I didn't use, I'd really love to have a conversation with you and figure out why the hell you didn't use it, because having the entire year up on the wall, being able to reference that, map that out, plan, like that is our that is the scaffolding that we use when we get together here the first week of December to block out our entire year and what we're going to do. So I'd really be curious to know, for the 10 that said they didn't use it, why you didn't use it. My hope is that you would actually say, well, I would have used it, but I already had one on order from a different provider. If it doesn't fit in my pocket, it doesn't exist. Nice, Jeff.
Yeah, didn't fit my wall space, so I bought one that was vertically oriented from another provider.
Okay.
Oh, is the limitless one horizontal?
It is horizontal, yes.
Oh, yeah. I've got 24 right there, and I've got 25s right here, and they're vertical. Yeah, because it fits on a door. It fits on a backside of a door.
Okay. All right. Good feedback.
Allison, is the calendar, it's like stack where like Mondays are all in one line, Tuesdays all in one line, Wednesdays, like it's not chunked out by.
It's by months. We looked at doing them the way that you're mentioning, Adam, and then ultimately decided not to. But yeah, it's essentially, it's more like a normal calendar than the one.
So it's not like this.
Right.
Okay.
That's what Adam uses.
Interesting. You should go back to doing it that way. My humble, unsolicited opinion, but okay. That's just me.
Okay. Steph has a lot of calendar opinions.
So. Oh, I'm sure she does.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys for playing along with me there. Appreciate it.
All right. We are now 3 minutes over on time. I apologize. That is 100% my fault because I was giving people crap for calendars. Anything else? I think we're all good, but thank you everybody for your time. I assume and hope today was valuable, and enjoy the rest of your Monday.